Good morning and welcome to All Things Jessamine. I'm Doug Fain. On today's program, we're going to be talking about probably what is the oldest continuous non-political, non-religious organization in our county. They've been here for 197 years. We're talking about the Masonic Lodge. Today's guest, one of the members of Heart Lodge 61, Glenn Teeter, who will tell us the history of the Masons in our county. We'll do that right after this word from our sponsor, the Farmers Bank of Jessamine County.
In 1934, a brand new house cost about $6,000. The cost of a gallon of gas was 10 cents. And in 1934, Farmers Bank of Jessamine County opened their doors at 200 North Main Street in Nicholasville, and they've been there ever since. The times may have changed, but Farmers Bank is still here, still proud to be the only locally owned and locally operated bank in Jessamine County. Banking with friends and neighbors. Farmers Bank, equal housing lender, member FDIC.
Good morning and welcome to All Things Jessamine. Glad to have you as we continue to learn more about our county, people, places, and things. Well, today we're going to talk about an organization that has been in this county long or longer than most. Jessamine County was formed 1798. We actually, our part of the county, the land, was part of Fayette County, which was one of the original three counties in Kentucky after it broke off from Virginia in 1792. Well, in 98, we became a county. Well, about 22 years after that, there was an organization that formed here in Jessamine County. It had already been an organization in the country, and I guess in the world, but it came to Jessamine County, and that was the Masons. Freemasonry, we're going to talk about that, but more than that, we're going to talk about the fact that Jessamine County has had a lodge for almost, folks, 200 years, or at 197. With me today is Glenn Teeter, and Glenn is a retired school teacher. He is very knowledgeable about the masonry, especially Jessamine County masonry, and we ask him to come in today. And good morning.
Good morning, Doug.
Glad to have you. And about 2.5 years ago, had the pleasure of interviewing your dad, Howard Curry. He was a show that we did with 6 months into our programs about cemeteries. He kind of was the expert, if you will, about Jessamine County Cemetery. So if you are one of those that listen to our podcast on the website, be sure to go back and search for Howard Curry Teeter, and that program is on there, and you can listen to him as he talks about cemeteries in Jessamine County. It's a very interesting subject. We're going to talk about Freemasonry, though. You've been involved with this for quite a while. I know there's a lot of people probably out there that have heard of Masons, they've heard of Freemasonry, but they really don't know what they are. In a nutshell, what is it?
Doug, Freemasonry is a fraternity, mm-hmm. just like a college fraternity.
Yeah.
In fact, it's the oldest non-religious, non-political fraternal organization in the world.
Now, you said in the world. Does that tell me that it started somewhere other than here?
It started in Europe, and as they say, in time immemorial. They have no idea exactly when it started, mm-hmm. but the oldest Masonic document was dated for 1390.
Wow.
So Masonry was obviously before that, but it's been around a long, long time. Started out with the actual stone masons mm-hmm. of Europe that build the cathedrals. And over time, as stone masons were no longer needed, mm-hmm. Freemasons took the idea of stonemasons' work and applied it in a philosophical way.
You know, there's a lot of people, especially people who are probably under the age of 40, at least under 30, that doesn't know what a stonemason or a brick mason is. I was fortunate enough to have both of those in my family. But this group wasn't meant just for those people who laid bricks and stones. There was other occupations that were accepted in, and even though they didn't know how to lay bricks or stones, they knew how to use the tools of the mason in such a way that it would benefit their fellow man. Now, let's talk about the symbolism. I've seen in the logo, it's a square, I think, and a compass.
Yes.
Tools of the trade. So how would somebody that was a member of the Masons, who was a doctor, use the symbolism of those to do good work?
For instance, the trowel. A operative Masons would actually use that trowel to take cement and put a building together.
Right.
A free and accepted Mason, using the philosophy of the old stonemasons, would use that trowel symbolically to spread the cement of brotherly love and affection.
And good symbolism there, and it makes a whole lot of sense. So I guess the whole philosophy of Freemasons is to live with high morals and do good deeds and treat your fellow man like you'd want to be treated, almost basically the golden rule, isn't it?
Pretty much.
Yeah.
Pretty much. The philosophy of Freemasonry is designed to make its members wiser, better men, and consequently happier.
Mm-hmm.
Masons try to live in accordance with high moral principles as good citizens. Masonry teaches and practices the ideals of kindness, honesty, decency, courtesy, fairness, understanding, and concerns. We champion the pursuit of knowledge and freedom of expression. Freemasonry teaches tolerance of other points of view, especially in religion and politics. In fact, it's forbidden in a Masonic lodge to even talk about politics or religion.
And that's interesting. I'll stop you there, because I would dare say that a lot of people in this world that haven't done research probably think that it's a big religious organization, and it's not. I mean, that right there shows you that, I guess, you have that basis of God, but it's not, you're not walking in there as a religious faction, because you're not even allowed to discuss it. That's interesting.
One of the requirements of a man to become a Mason, he must believe in a divine being, as he would interpret
yes.
a God.
Yes.
Atheists are not accepted into Freemasonry.
Yes.
But my lodge in Lexington, where I also belong, we have Catholics, we have men of all religions.
Right.
And we do pray, but we don't pray to any specific religion. We have a Bible on our altar,
mm-hmm.
but we call it Book
right.
of Sacred
right.
Law, that when you take an oath or you put your hand on that Bible, it's not religious. It's just to make the comment that what you're saying really means something.
Yeah, it comes from the heart.
It comes from the heart.
Sure.
It's important.
Sure.
And the lodge in Lexington has a Quran. It has the Jewish Bible.
Mm-hmm.
And a man of these different faiths can take their oaths
whatever
on these things. But it's
yeah.
not religious.
Yeah. You know, and something I want to bring up too here, because we keep talking about the man, and all I want to say is in case you're listening out there and thinking, well, why don't they let women in? Well, the ladies have their own organization. In fact, we did a program with Janet Gayhart about the Eastern Star, and they are the female version, if you will, of the Masonic Lodge. Is that correct?
Yes. Freemasonry mm-hmm. is a fraternity.
Yes.
Mostly it is for men, but there are some states, like California, mm-hmm. that they accept women.
Do they?
Into their
okay.
lodges.
Okay.
But basically, worldwide, it is a men's fraternity.
Yeah.
The women's version is the Eastern Star.
Yeah. Well, and for those listening, if you are a female and you're interested, just, again, go back to our podcast and look up the Eastern Star on our search, and you can hear Janet Gayhart talk all about that organization and the good work that they did. Okay, so we've got this European bunch of fellas that come up with this idea to form this fraternal organization. At some point in time, it had to come across the waters into America.
Well, as trade came with boats
yeah.
and ships, and they came to the shores of America,
mm-hmm.
there were Freemasons.
Mm-hmm.
And they were, as they settled in the colonies, they were interested in forming lodges. And by 1730, there was a lodge in Philadelphia.
Mm-hmm.
And by 1733, there was one in Boston. It spread like wildfire, went up and down the eastern coast into
yeah.
into the colonies.
Yes. Now, I guess one of the most famous Masons in our country's history, of course, is our first president, George Washington. And people like that would have been even prior to when it came to Kentucky, because we weren't even Kentucky yet. So if you do your history, you may see the Masons mentioned in history with those gentlemen. But at some point in time, it hit our state, our Commonwealth. So how did that happen?
As pioneers came into Kentucky from North Carolina, Virginia, mm-hmm. Pennsylvania, they were settling Lexington, central Kentucky, and had no lodge. If they were to attend lodge, they were going hundreds of miles back.
Yeah.
Maybe to Virginia, 700 miles. So there was no lodge here. And in 1788,
mm-hmm.
there were a group of men in central Kentucky that petitioned the Grand Lodge of Virginia to form a lodge in Lexington.
Okay.
Which they did. And that was called Lexington Number 25 under the Grand Lodge of Virginia.
Is it still going?
It's still going.
Wow.
But later in 1800, when there was a Grand Lodge of Kentucky, they changed all the numbers, and Lexington Lodge being the oldest,
mm-hmm.
Under Kentucky Grand Lodge, it became Lexington Lodge Number 1.
Number 1.
It's on Harrisburg Road, just across from, I think, the Beaumont mm-hmm. Center.
Now, that's interesting. I didn't know that about the numbering system. systems. So I'm kind of getting ahead of myself, but the Jessamine County Lodge is number 61. Is that right? Does that mean it was the 61st in the state to form?
That's pretty much accurate.
Yes. Yeah, that's pretty cool. All right. So we've got a Grand Lodge of Kentucky. They've come from Virginia. They petition. They get accepted, I guess, to do that. And at some point in time, we keep narrowing it down a little bit at a time. We've gone from Europe to United States to Kentucky, and now we're in Jessamine County. Tell us how that happened or when it happened.
In 1788, with the lodge in Lexington, all of the men of Jessamine County would have to go by horseback or possibly buggy to get to Lexington down on Main Street where Lexington Lodge Number 1 was located.
Which was a long drive back then.
That's a long drive, and maybe in bad weather, winter, maybe you didn't get there. So eventually there was a group of Masons in Jessamine County that decided that it's too far to go to Lexington. Maybe let's petition the Grand Lodge of Kentucky to form a lodge in Nicholasville, which they did.
And that would have been, you said, in 1820, because in 3 years, you told me, you all are going to celebrate your 200th anniversary. That's amazing.
That is amazing. When the men of Jessamine County petitioned the Grand Lodge of Kentucky for a lodge, it was granted, and it was called Jessamine Lodge. But two very influential people, one being Robert Crockett, who was the founder and builder of the Union Mills.
Yeah.
He was also a member of Lexington One, but he wanted the lodge in Nicholasville. Mm-hmm. He lived here. Mm-hmm. And Henry Clay, the great senator, was also master of Lexington Lodge Number One. And Crockett and Henry Clay wanted to change the name from Jessamine Lodge to Hart Lodge.
Being spelled H-A-R-T.
That's right, H-A-R-T. Okay. Robert Crockett's friend was Nathaniel G.S. Hart, and he was a brother-in-law to Henry Clay. Nathaniel Hart was a soldier of the War of 1812. Mm-hmm. He was a captain, led a group of men in the Battle of River Raisin during the War of 1812.
Yeah.
His group was killed, mutilated, bodies strewn everywhere. And Henry Clay and Robert Crockett wanted to remember Nathaniel Hart, who was a Mason, in the form of naming a lodge after him.
Now, would that have been soon after that 1820 mark?
That's right. In 1820, it was Jessamine Lodge under dispensation, which meant it was just forming.
Okay.
And then when it was actually chartered by the Grand Lodge of Kentucky, it was called Hart Lodge.
It was Hart. Okay.
What's interesting is right across from the Catholic Church, there's a big white building that sets up on that kind of a hill.
The Phillips.
Yes.
Judge Phillips, at the turn of the century, the other century, was kind of like a county judge, I guess, at that time. Fact, his daughter is the one that founded the Business Professional Women's Association.
Well, let's go back a little farther.
Yeah.
The original, the very first county clerk of Jessamine County lived there.
Oh, yeah?
His name was Samuel Hughes Woodson. He was the Grand Master of the Grand Lodge of Kentucky.
Really?
He lived here in Nicholasville.
Of the whole state.
Of the whole state. And he granted Hart Lodge their first charter, and he was the first one to sign it.
Wow.
Interesting enough, the very next day, Henry Clay, who was master of Lexington Lodge Number 1, became Grand Master of the Grand Lodge of Kentucky.
So Woodson's possibly final act as Grand Master was to charter the one right here where he lived. Isn't that cool that he was able to do that?
That's exactly what happened.
Yeah, that's interesting. All right, now, do we know where it was as far as a location is concerned? I mean, they had to meet somewhere. Now, I remember as a boy growing up seeing the sign down here on Main Street, South Main, but where did it originally form?
Well, let's go back before that. Yeah. When the Grand Lodge chartered Hart Lodge, it was probably at the Union Mills.
Yeah.
Robert Crockett had built those mills. He was the very first master of the lodge, so there was no building for them, so they probably met in private homes or at the Union Mills or whatever.
Yeah.
But what's interesting, in 1824, a very wealthy Jessamine Countyan named John Hay Hanley, who was Catholic, interesting enough, very wealthy. He put up the funds and built the very first brick two-story Masonic temple in Nicholasville. It was on three lots in Nicholasville. Mm-hmm. It was, as they say, catty corner or diagonal from the present CVS pharmacy. And it was built in 1824.
That's the lot where the little building is now. It's an insurance company. It kind of sits cockeyed, if you
yeah.
will. In fact, that's the location where, believe it or not, folks, Harlan Sanders used to live here, had a gas station there.
That's right.
Back in the 30s, I think it was. So it was right there on that particular corner.
That lot
corner.
And the two next to it.
Wow.
It was a very grand building. It was the second most expensive building in the county, second only to the courthouse.
They had this grand building there on that corner. That's where they had their meetings and things. Did they do other things in that building along the way? I know that sometimes buildings like that, Nicholasville Baptist Church, for instance, had to double up and become like a hospital during the war. Was those kind of thing? Because that had to be a nice building.
It was a very nice building.
Yeah.
And in fact, that lodge building became a hospital during
yeah.
the Civil War
yeah.
for the Union soldiers.
Yeah.
And the Union Army also used it for office space.
Yeah.
When our current courthouse was being built,
uh-huh.
the Masonic Temple was
uh-huh.
used for court.
To really?
Court. It essentially
wow.
became the courthouse until our present courthouse could be built.
You know, up to this point, on our Facebook page, you grew up in Jessamine County, the holy grail of photos has been George's Drive-In, which you remember well.
Oh, yeah.
Now I'm going to say that, boy, if we could ever find a picture of that old lodge, that would be great if we could find that and get that on.
I don't know if there was ever a picture of that.
Yeah.
Over time, it burnt in 1886.
Mm-hmm.
All the records were lost.
Oh.
And over time, I suppose people used the bricks and for
yeah.
other things.
Yeah.
And eventually, the cornerstone of that building of 1824 was lost.
Oh.
And eventually, some Mason saw it being used as a stelp behind some person's home.
Really?
And said, hey, you know, that's the old Masonic Lodge
yeah, right,
cornerstone.
Right.
And that needs to be in our lodge.
Yeah.
So a man hired a guy, put in a wheelbarrow, and wheeled it all the way down Main Street to the Oddfellow Hall that you know.
That's the one I remember. Down for those people that want to know, we have to do this on this program because we have people who haven't been here and lived here for a while. It's down the street from Nicholasville Baptist Church. It's right across the street from what used to be Von Groningen's Town Square Bank. It's on the other side. It's kind of in that
area. It's got IOOL
yeah.
on the top.
Is it still there?
Which is the International Order of Odd Fellows.
Yeah.
Yeah. When the Masonic Temple that burned in mm-hmm. 1886, when it burned down, the Odd Fellows took the Masons into their
mm-hmm.
their place.
And they stayed there a long time.
They stayed there 91 years.
Wow.
That's where my father became a Mason.
Yeah.
They were there 91 years until they built their new lodge on Edgewood Drive in 1979.
Has it been that long? Oh, my goodness. Now, when you go out Edgewood Drive, folks, for a point of reference here, turn off right onto Edgewood Drive off of South Main, go down past the Edgewood Plaza, and on the left, right next to the Big City Transformer Station is where the Hart Lodge is right now in that building. All right, so right now we have Hart Lodge. Hart Lodge has been around our 197 years. Were there any other lodges in our county at any time?
There were. The next lodge to form after Hart Lodge was Mitchell Lodge, Mitchell Lodge number 226.
Mm-hmm.
It was located in Keene in the old store there, the old
yeah.
the Keene store.
Across the street from the old Keene Springs Hotel, I guess.
Well, it was in the Keene.
Oh, it was
it was in that hotel.
Yeah, yeah.
Across from the Wilson.
Yeah. Wilson
grocery.
Store.
Mm-hmm. But it was named for a famous doctor in Jessamine County, James W.S. Mitchell.
Uh-huh.
And he was also one of the early masters of Hart Lodge. After Mitchell Lodge was founded in Keene, there was a lodge formed down in Brooklyn.
Oh, yeah?
On the river.
Yeah.
It was called McCorkle Lodge. Didn't last very long, just from 1853 to 1868.
Yeah.
And it was named for one of the officers of the Grand Lodge of Kentucky.
Okay.
Then down at Potts Mill,
You got me on that one.
Well, Potts Mill is what the charter says, but today we would know it as Sugar Creek.
Okay.
But down on Sugar Creek Pike, there was a lodge number 301 called Ion.
Uh-huh.
Or as some of my Masonic mentors like Bob Sewell,
yes,
he called it I-O-N Lodge. It kind of fizzled out, and, yeah, and in 1938, those remaining men joined with the Heart Lodge.
With you guys, okay.
Then...
I say you guys, you weren't around in 38, but you know what I mean.
Thank you, Doug. In 1904, the men at Wilmore petitioned and got a lodge there, and it lasted until 1916.
Mm-hmm.
And then,
but now, they had a lodge longer than that, didn't they, in Wilmore?
They did. After 1916, they formed another lodge.
Oh, okay.
It was they've had two separate lodges, okay, in Wilmore, the last being number 922, and it was formed in 1921.
Yeah.
And in 2016, they got low on membership and joined a
Oh, really?
Heart
I didn't
lodge.
Know that.
Yeah.
So, okay.
So Heart Lodge is the only remaining active lodge now in the county.
Okay. Is the one down in the African-American section of town, is it out too? Because I know they had one down in there.
Yes, that was Central Lodge, Central. Number 91.
Yeah.
I believe they're hanging on. I believe it's still in existence. That was under the Grand Lodge of, it's called the Prince Hall Masons.
Yeah.
And I know Brian Mason.
Yes.
And Jesse Mason,
yes,
were Mason, famously there.
Okay. Well, let's kind of go now with some names. Let's talk about some people, and let's kind of do it the same way. Let's start big and work our way down to Jessamine County. Maybe tell us some well-known names that we would know from history throughout the world, and we'll come right on down in that way.
Well, Doug, I suppose the most famous ones that we would recognize right off would be Mozart, mm-hmm, Voltaire, Winston Churchill,
yeah,
General Lafayette, who actually came to Lexington Lodge in 1825, and the Brothers of Lexington Lodge threw a huge party for him there, and he gave a Masonic apron to Henry Clay while,
yeah,
he was here.
And that's who that county is named for, Fayette County.
Yes, it is.
For that general. That's interesting.
And there's, you know, the famous Rudyard Kipling.
Oh, yeah, the author.
Yeah.
Sure. Okay, so that's the world. Now, narrow it on down. We're going to talk about some Americans that we might recognize. I mentioned Washington earlier. I know there was a lot more of the founding fathers, I think, that may have been in there, too.
Freemasonry really appealed to colonial America.
Mm-hmm.
They liked the idea of tolerance. They liked the idea of free speech.
Right.
They liked those ideas of strong character, which appealed to George Washington. Ben Franklin was a Mason. He was also the Grand Master of the Grand Lodge of Pennsylvania. Paul Revere.
Wow.
John Hancock. Red Skelton. Red Skelton.
The comedian?
The comedian. I'm surprised you know Red Skelton.
Oh, yes, very well.
But Red Skelton was one of the brightest Masons ever. He learned all the ritual. They say he had a photographic mind, and he learned it faster than almost anyone.
Wow.
Buzz Aldrin.
Oh, the astronaut, yeah.
He secreted some Masonic materials to the moon, and I suppose we might have a lodge there. Louis Armstrong.
Great.
Bob Hope. Harry Truman. Harry Truman, it's interesting enough, was kind of the common man. Even when he was campaigning for president, when his train was stopping in a small town, he would get off, evade the Secret Service, go into the local lodges there, don an apron, and become equal
that?
Like everybody else.
Yeah.
Others were FDR, Teddy Roosevelt, Benedict Arnold. Francis Scott Key, Dave Thomas of Wendy's Restaurants, Gerald Ford, Black Jack Pershing, Omar Bradley, Andrew Jackson was Grand Master of Tennessee.
Wow.
James Monroe, the Wright brothers with their famous airplane, Roy Rogers, Roy Clark of...
Sure.
You don't remember him.
Oh,
Hall,
I do very well.
And James Naismith. We got to mention
basketball.
The founder of basketball.
You mentioned something during that conversation there before we go on to Kentucky Masons. In my training as a funeral director, we had a class where we learned about funeral rites. And I know there's a special rite for the Masonic Lodge if they choose to do so, if the person dies. But what my point I'm getting to is that we learned in that, a lot of people don't understand this, when you go to a funeral in a Catholic church, they cover the casket with a cloth that's called a pall, P-A-L-L. That is how we got the name pallbearers. That's where that came from. That cloth is put on that casket to signify that in God's eyes, everyone is equal. You just mentioned the aprons. Now, I know that back in the day, I could see my granddaddy, who was a brick mason, have an apron around and carry the nails and the screws and all that. But is there symbolism there that is kind of that we're all the same? You mentioned Harry Truman. He put his apron on and became one of them. Is that kind of the symbolism that when we're together in this group, we're equal? No one's better than anybody else. We're equal.
That's one of the strong tenets of masonry.
Yeah.
And when Harry Truman went into that lodge, mm-hmm. he put his white apron on, sat along the sidelines, and was equal to everyone yeah. else in the lodge. In fact, if that master of that lodge was a gardener, that master had control and ruled over Harry.
Yeah.
But
even though he was president, yeah.
Even though he was president.
Right.
But yet, when they all entered the lodge, they were equal.
They were equal.
But that apron was, again, symbolic of
right.
the apron of the original stonemasons.
Right.
And masons use white lambskin
mm-hmm.
to represent purity
mm-hmm.
and to try to work toward being a pure and perfect individual.
If you ever have someone that you know that does pass away that are Masons, and they say they're going to have a Masonic service, very interesting. You'll learn a lot about what some of these things mean, as you just mentioned, because I think that's part of it. They go in and talk about the sprig of
acacia.
And the lambskin, and it's very, very symbolic and all has some great meaning to it. Okay, some Kentucky Masons, people that we would know just in our little Commonwealth.
Well, me being the old codger here, I may throw out some names that that certainly you as a youngster would
That's
not
okay.
know. But let me throw out probably some of the most famous ones would be Representative Bob Dameron.
Mm-hmm.
Some of you may know Jesse Mason.
Mm-hmm.
Jesse was from the Prince Hall black
yes,
community.
Yes.
Very bright
yeah.
community leader of
yeah.
the time.
Yeah.
Had a white goatee.
Yes.
And interesting enough, he was made a 33rd degree Mason in Monrovia, Africa.
Really?
You may know Terry McFarlane.
Very well.
Holton West.
Yes.
Leo Weil.
Uh-huh.
Sheriff Kevin Corman. You may know Coach Bill Maxwell.
I remember him very well.
Howard Curry Teeter, my dad, a 66-year Mason. Victor Cumley. Bill Buford, the
mm-hmm.
lawyer.
Mm-hmm.
Ellistine Hager.
Knew him very well.
Joe Robb.
Oh, yeah.
Bailey Kurtz.
Yes.
Took all the kids to the Shriner Circus
yes.
on buses. Jerry Lovett.
Uh-huh.
Tom Yearwood. Jesse Lunsford. Marty Cox.
Right.
Bill Black. Ray Brock. Ray, you may not know.
I do. Monkey Brock.
Monkey Brock
yeah.
was the photographer for a long time for the Jessamine Journal.
Right.
Wife
was a school teacher, Alice.
Mm-hmm. And Ray, unbeknownst, he was a very well-decorated World War II soldier.
Oh, yeah. I didn't know that.
Unbelievable. Yes, he was
really?
One of the more highly decorated men of Jessamine County.
Wow.
You'd mentioned Chris Kreiner earlier
uh-huh, uh-huh.
and his son,
uh-huh.
Overton Giles. You may know a chiropractor named Dr. Durrell.
I've heard that name.
David Latham, Sturgis Leach, Morgan Staten, Tommy Thornton, who I call Brother Arvin.
Yes, Christian
Brother
Church.
Arvin was our chaplain for many, many,
yeah.
many years. Whitey Cobb, Carl Dean, and Cleo Despain.
Well, you've mentioned some good ones there. And I hate to say it, but I do remember about 99% of those people.
What's interesting, Doug, is as a kid growing up on Maple Street near Hager's Grocery,
mm-hmm.
I'd walk to school, I'd walk to town. Sometimes this gentleman, Jesse Lunsford, would come out
uh-huh.
and pull up an onion and give me a tomato out of his garden. There was Tom Yearwood. There was Victor Cumney on my street.
Uh-huh.
All of these
uh-huh.
men I didn't know were Masons until I became a Mason myself.
Really?
When I went into that lodge my very first time and saw my mentors, people that I had the highest esteem for, I was so surprised.
Yeah.
Those of you out there, don't pay a lot of attention to the History Channel and some of the negative thoughts that comes about Freemasonry. If there's anything derogatory about Freemasonry, George Washington, Harry Truman, Howard Curry Teeter would have gotten out of that organization immediately.
Right.
It's a great organization.
Yeah.
I love it.
Yeah. How old were you when you went in?
What's interesting, Freemasonry does not recruit.
Right.
They do not invite you to become a Mason.
Right.
My dad never mentioned Masonry to me. He loved going to meetings. He loved going to the fish fries. Mm-hmm. He was as active as he could be working the long hours that he did. Mm-hmm. But I was disappointed to find out that I missed a great opportunity in becoming a Mason because he couldn't invite me.
Right.
He was the old school. He went by the book. Masons didn't recruit.
Yeah.
So I went years and years and years, unfortunately, not being able to be a Mason.
Wow.
I didn't know until 2006 when I was talking to a 90-year-old World War II veteran, mm-hmm. when I was speaking to him about Masonry, that I said the right things and showed my interest, that I became a
wow.
Mason. And I love it ever since. But I'm very unhappy that Masons don't recruit.
Yeah.
And I'm unhappy that my dad
couldn't do that.
He couldn't do that. And
I've seen bumper stickers before with the Masonic logo on it, and I think it says, "To be one, ask one."
That's right.
Yeah.
We don't recruit, so
right.
anyone out there that's interested in...
They need to come to a Mason.
You need to find a Mason or come
yeah.
down to Heart Lodge.
Yeah.
We meet the second and fourth Monday night.
Yeah.
We have dinner at 6:30. If you're interested, come by, join us for dinner, and talk to some of the brothers and see what you think. And if you're interested, they'll show you what you need to do to become a Mason.
To become. And as the name implies, it's called, folks, it's not just the Mason Lodge. It's the free and accepted Masons. There's a reason that word accepted's in there. And if you meet all the qualifications that, and they're not, I don't know what they are. I'm just assuming that it's probably nothing extraordinarily hard, but it's commitment probably more than anything in character. You would be accepted in.
Well, the key word there is character. Freemasonry, don't try to rehabilitate
mm-hmm.
bad or evil men. What is commonly said today, they take good men and make them better.
Make them better.
A lot of times there is background checks.
Mm-hmm.
They do want to take good men.
Sure.
A lot of people say I was a Mason before I became a Mason because they were genuinely good men of
right.
character.
Right.
And that's what Freemasonry is interested in.
Yeah.
They do want good men to start with.
Mm-hmm.
And then through their philosophy, they will make you better and consequently make you a better citizen of the
sure.
town,
sure.
county, and world.
And they've done a whole lot. And folks... there are, I'm not going to get into all this, but I know there's different levels. You mentioned Jesse was awarded a 33 degree, and there's different levels. But at some point in time, I'm assuming that you can get up into what's called a Shriner. And we all know around here, especially around Central Kentucky, the great Shriners Hospital in Lexington. And my gosh, what great work they have done for children in our state, free of charge, I might add. People that have need there, the Shriners who started out as Masons, have contributed greatly to the health and welfare of our community.
You mentioned the degrees of Masonry.
Yeah, yeah.
There's called the Blue Lodge. That's your local lodge, mm-hmm. which has 3 degrees, the Entered Apprentice degree, the Fellowcraft degree, and the Master Mason degree.
Okay.
The Master Mason degree, the third degree of Masonry, is the highest degree a Mason can obtain.
Uh-huh.
There are appendage organizations such as the Shriners, the Scottish Rite, the York Rite.
Yeah.
These are appendages. The Blue Lodge, the 3 degrees of Masonry, is the center, the main building block of Masonry. If you're more of a party goer, if you enjoy dressing up, that's the Shriners. That's kind of how
they
that,
drive those little cars.
Yeah,
in the parade.
They have fun, and that's the fun part of
yeah.
Masonry. But they do tremendous work.
Oh,
as
yeah.
One of the tenets of Freemasonry is to do good work.
Mm-hmm.
And the Shriners, certainly with their burn centers,
oh,
their hospital,
yeah.
and even our local lodge in Nicholasville, going back through some of the early minutes,
uh-huh.
Heart Lodge sent a lot of money for the time, the San Francisco fire victims.
Yeah, oh, that's a long time
so
ago. Yeah.
Today we spend a lot of money with Relay for Life,
yeah.
Shop with a Cop.
Yeah.
Right now we're buying a lot of bicycles to go into all of our schools to try to encourage school attendance.
Cool.
So there's a lot of money that's raised locally, and charity is one of the tenets of Freemasonry.
You got some tidbits here of some things that just kind of interesting, some trivia, if you will, about Jessamine County and the Lodge. Tell us a few of these things here. This very interesting.
There was a brother, one of the very early brothers was named David Crozier.
Uh-huh.
He formed a stagecoach and a mail route that went from Lexington to Bean Station in Tennessee, if you can imagine the time.
Yeah.
An interesting thing is Hart Lodge here in Nicholasville, Kentucky, has had a member that has fought in every major war from the American Revolution to the Gulf Wars.
Wow. That's amazing.
That is amazing.
That's amazing.
And as you've mentioned before, Hart Lodge is the oldest organization in Jessamine County. It's 197 years old.
You know, I was sitting here thinking about that. Is I guess other than two or three churches and the Valley View Ferry, there's probably nothing. I mean, if you had to look at the top five oldest things, continuous things in our county, you all are certainly in the top five with some churches in Valley View. Yeah.
Keeping the government out,
right.
Not counting the government,
right.
Not counting the churches.
Yeah.
It's the oldest, yeah. Non-political.
That's amazing. 197 years. All right, get some more.
Nicholasville was laid out by a Freemason named Reverend John Metcalf.
Mm-hmm.
His house is what, over on 1st or 2nd Street?
It's the oldest house still standing in Nicholasville. Yes, it is on, let's see, it runs down behind Nicholasville Baptist Church, 1st Street. Yeah, you got to count in your head after a while, you got to think. But it is the oldest, it's still standing, and some people may have seen a drawing of it on Main Street. Down across from Jay's place, there is a big board, I think Winnie Yunkard and them had that put up to cover that hole. That's a drawing of the Metcalf House.
Nicholasville was named after a lawyer, a Virginia lawyer named George Nicholas.
Mm-hmm.
He was the first Attorney General of Kentucky. He was considered to be the father of a Kentucky Constitution.
Yes.
And we named our city after him, and he was a Freemason.
Okay.
In 1937, down on Hart Lodge, up in the Oddfellow Building, Robert Pershing Waslow showed up. He was 8 feet 11 inches tall, weighed 495 pounds, and I'm surprised those old rickety stairs going upstairs where the lodge met held his weight.
He's the guy that, I guess, Ripley made famous, wasn't he? The tallest ever person, big fella. Yeah.
Big fella.
Google that dude. You'll see all about that.
What's interesting, two of the largest recorded attendance at Hart Lodge was held in 1937 and 1938. In 1937, a group of firemen from Cincinnati came down and put on some degree work,
mm-hmm.
and there were some 800 men
that
showed up to see that Masonic deal. In 1938, a Detroit lodge came down and put on a Highland Masonic meeting,
mm-hmm.
wearing kilts,
mm-hmm.
and bagpipes and bands, and it was advertised and so huge that attendance was over 1,200 men.
Man.
And attendance was from 112 lodges in several foreign countries. And I don't know how they got them all in the upstairs building.
I have no idea.
If they did.
Yeah.
Probably the father of Jessamine County was Colonel John Moseley.
Mm-hmm.
He was a famous Mason. He was a Revolutionary War soldier and a War of 1812 soldier. I say he was probably the father of Jessamine County because he has the distinction of rearing the largest family known in Jessamine County. He had 21 children by two wives, only three girls, but 18 boys.
Well, I don't mean any disrespect. He was a nut. That's what he was. But goodness gracious, if he wasn't before he had children, he was after. 21 kids. He got home from the war and evidently did not take up a job. He didn't have time for it. All right.
Once during a solemn event at Hart Lodge in 1955,
uh-huh.
past Grand Master Kentucky Fry Haley and Governor Happy Chandler happened to be kneeling together at the altar there.
Uh-huh.
Later, Brother Haley made the comment that there's no other place in the world except at a Masonic altar that a Democrat and a Republican can kneel together in peace and harmony. Haley being the Republican and, of course, Governor Chandler is a Democrat.
And I will take one exception to that, and it's involving a fella that I was very close to and a man that you were very close to, and that would be your grandfather Curry and the great Elstein Hager that I worked with. Curry was for I don't know how many 50 some 60 years the Republican member of the local election board. Elstein for just about as long was the Democrat member, and I don't know of any two that could have been any closer than those two, and I know that they symbolically kneeled at a lot of places. whether it was at the dinner table, whether it was at the election counting votes. But those two, I think, showed that it didn't matter your politics. You could be for, I tell you, we just did a show with Pete Sutherland. In business, my example of that was Bobby Sellers and John Sutherland. Competitors who were truly best friends, and your granddad and Ellistine were the same way.
They were. After every Board of Elections meeting, they would go to a fish place and have a fish sandwich.
Yeah.
They talked almost every night, and it broke my grandfather's heart. He had talked to Ellistine just prior to his passing, and he took it very hard.
Yeah, good fellas. Both of those just very, very good fellas in our community. This has been so interesting, Glenn. I'm so glad that you were able to get with us and do this because, you know, you think about it, guys, masonry in Jessamyn County has touched more people than anybody realized. Now, you may not have directly derived anything from the Masonic Lodge, but I guarantee anybody that's been around this area for any length of time, you have been in touch or you have known or done business with somebody who was in this lodge. You mentioned a whole lot of names right there that touched a lot of people in a lot of different ways. And just some of the best people that ever walked in our county, some of the names that you mentioned there.
I think, Doug, Freemasonry and Masons do not boast. Mm-hmm. They go about their business doing good work without trying to make a name for themselves.
And they've evidently, they're doing it right to be that long of a running organization. And folks, when you think of it, it's almost 200 years just in our county. It's longer than that in other places. But to have that kind of life expectancy, if you will, they're doing it right somehow. Something they're doing is correct, or it wouldn't keep going.
I guess I'd like to invite you down to come down to the lodge and look inside and see our wall with all the past masters on the wall.
Yeah, that would be cool.
In lodge, we have a gavel that was used in Ion Lodge.
Uh-huh.
It was made by a Union soldier who was the first superintendent of the Camp Nelson National Cemetery.
Really?
His name was Ewald Snyder.
Yeah.
He was shot during the Civil War by cannon.
Oh,
just about killed him. He saved his own life by taking the cord off his cappy, his hat, tied it around his leg, and saved his life.
Wow.
Later became superintendent there at the Camp Nelson Cemetery, and he hand-carved this gavel that's on display.
That's amazing. Well, once again, I will say, and because of the rules of Lodge, they're not allowed to walk up to you and say, hey, won't you come on and be a Mason? But I can say here on this program, again, that if you are interested, in learning more about the Masonic Lodge and even becoming a member, or even the female version, the Eastern Star, it's very easy to do. As he mentioned, they meet on the second and fourth Monday nights. They have a meal at 6:30, a meeting at 7:30. If you are a female and would like information, you could contact a Mason, and they'll know exactly who to get you in touch with, whether it be Janet Gayhart or some of those other great ladies. It's, as the old bumper sticker says, to be one, you ask one. And I'm sure that they would love to talk to you, and you can brag a little on yourself and your character to see if you would be a member of this group. Some great history here. I appreciate it. Very nice.
Thanks, Doug. Thanks for having me.
You did a good job. I will say this aside as we end. This gentleman that we're talking to actually taught me in school. Now, you must have only been 13 years old.
I was. I just turned 15.
That's what I thought. You had to be awful young, but that was some good times, too, back in those days and at old Jessamyn County High School. So
it was great. I missed teaching, missed all the students.
How long were you a teacher?
I was 32 years.
32. And how long have you been out?
Good question.
It's a long time.
Yeah.
Well, and we also mentioned his granddad being the Republican representative on our election board. You now are. You stepped into his footsteps.
What's interesting, Doug, my grandfather, his uncle was a commissioner before him.
Really?
Then he became commissioner. Yeah. My dad took his place, and until when my dad got ill, then I took over. Wow. So there weren't that many Republican families growing up. You know, the Victor Cumley and
Holton West.
Yeah, just a few of us.
Yeah, that's right.
So things are kind of changing.
Yeah. Well, thank you for your service to our community also as Glenn Teeter. We appreciate that. And your dad was a great person to interview. He knew so much about our cemeteries and kept our history alive, if you will. And I just appreciate that.
One of the great honors I had, Doug, just as a side note, is when I was master of Heart Lodge in 2010, I was able to give my father his 60-year pin.
Wow.
That was a great honor to me.
Oh, I'm sure it was. Good fella. You come from pretty good stock.
Thank you, Doug. Yeah. Thanks for having me today.
Thank you. My thanks to Glenn Teeter for coming in today and sharing this fabulous history of the Masonic Lodge in Jessamine County. Appreciate you coming in every Saturday, too, for all things Jessamine. We'll do it again next week at 11 o'clock. Don't forget, I've got a regular show right here on Jess FM every weekday morning from 6 until 8 a.m. We get you up and get you going. And we'll do it again on Monday morning. Have a great weekend. I'll see you then on Jess FM 105.9.
Beginnings are important, especially when it comes to building a future. From start to finish, Farmers Bank of Jessamine County will be with you every step of the way. Whether it's a house, a car, a college fund, or saving for retirement, it all starts here. Stop by any of our four convenient Jessamine County locations today or visit us on the web at myfarmersbank.net. Banking with friends and neighbors, Farmers Bank of Jessamine County, Equal Housing Lender, Member FDIC.